Welcome to the UK Data Service Experts Experts podcast. Today I'm very pleased to be speaking with Ben Brindle, a doctoral student at the University of Brighton and one of our Data Impact Fellows. Our Fellows programme is designed to support the use of the UK Data Service data and resources by new generations of researchers and analysts working in the academic and charity sectors. Ben has worked with our impact team to devise the Change in Perceptions Challenge, a competition open to sixth form and college students in the UK. There are also prizes up for grabs, some worth up to £200. The theme of the competition is about exploring and addressing the difference between public perceptions of the economic impact of immigration and what the evidence shows. And it presents an exciting opportunity for students to engage with data-driven research and develop their creativity, critical thinking and communication skills. Ben will now tell us more about the competition and how you can get involved. Ben, can you please tell us about how you first started to explore these immigration issues that are involved with the competition and what inspired you to set it up?
Yes, I think it dates back to sort of around 2016. So sort of had the Brexit vote in sort of June 2016. And then from sort of September of that year, it was when I was doing my undergraduate dissertation. And I was sort of thinking about which topic I could do. And I was sort of fascinated by sort of the sort of Brexit debate and sort of things leading up to that. And so I thought immigration sort of came from there because immigration was such a big part of that debate. I think it was the second most cited reason for someone voting one way or the other. And I think of those which did cite it, 80% of people who thought it was the most important topic voted to leave. And so it was basically sort of, through my undergraduate dissertation, I decided this would be sort of quite good to actually see what was happening under the bonnet, whether the big lines that you have put out by politicians about sort of the economic impact actually were happening in reality. And then, it sort of went from there. So then I did a master's and then sort of followed this through, sort of looking at how immigration impacts wages and employment. And then from the master's to the PhD. And now I'm sort of looking at the sort of any wider impacts, essentially. And this basically, the competition taps into that. So a lot of the research has not found wage or employment impacts of immigration, but I think there's quite a public perception that there is wage and employment impacts. So to sort of bridge that divide and communicate the research is where the competition comes from. So it's asking students to firstly analyze that divide and where sort of research and public perceptions differ, and then develop a campaign to try and communicate that research to sort of the public and wider audiences.
So your work in this area, what are the most significant findings that you found? So have you discovered what's portrayed in the media in terms of the impact of immigration on the labour market is very different to what's happening in reality from the data that you've explored?
I think it absolutely is very different. This isn't, I'm certainly not the first one to find this, but in a sense, my PhD is all based on the lack of finding, that being I haven't found an impact of immigration on wages or employment. And that's what much of the sort of earlier studies have also found. This may be sort of very small impacts sort of for the lowest paid, but there's not really anything, certainly nothing which fits, sort of that public perception. And so all sort of my research has come from that. And I've been looking at, well, if wages and employment aren't being impacted, then what's happening instead? So I've got three papers in my PhD. The first one sort of looks at occupational mobility, and what I sort of mean by that is immigrants arrive in the UK and they work in particular jobs. How is it that the UK born respond, and do they change their jobs? And it looks like they do. So rather immigrants will work in sort of more manual intensive occupations because they don't necessarily have language skills or things like that. And the way that the UK born people will respond is moving into sort of more communication based and language based jobs. And that means they're sort of not directly competing, and often these sort of more language based jobs have better pay as well. I then look at sort of the way that firms produce. So think about a car wash, for example. You can either produce, wash cars using sort of sponges and lots of labor, or you could have sort of the big mechanized machinery, and there's not one way of washing cars. And essentially looking at whether firms change the way that they produce following immigration. And what I essentially find, I'm still working on this paper, what it looks like I find is that following immigration, firms are less likely to sort of invest in machinery and equipment and to use more labor intensive techniques. And then my third paper looks at offshoring. So offshoring is obviously quite a contentious part of globalization as well. And I sort of essentially find that what immigration leads to is fewer firms offshoring. So because the labor's in the UK, firms don't need to go to the labor, they can stay here. And sort of the thing that brings all these three papers together is essentially, I think the public view, you have an increase in the supply of labor, sort of to go back to the economics 101. But these papers sort of show that actually you have a change in the demand as well. So you might have more workers, but there's also demand for more workers. And that sort of explains why we haven't found these wage and employment impacts.
So in a way, would you say that so your findings to find the evidence of immigration have a negative effect on the labour market, in some ways it's had a positive effect because it's bringing in workers to fill the vacancies that are necessary, which means creates new opportunities for the British citizens to work on maybe high level jobs that actually drives the future success of the companies and organisations?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I mean, I guess it depends what you're sort of focusing on as to whether you say sort of things have had a positive impact or things like that. But yeah, it certainly does look as though the UK-born do get into sort of better paid occupations, which I guess if you think about sort of the government's priorities at the minute and sort of levelling up and sort of left behind communities, that's one way of getting, if that's your priority, sort of these people into better paying jobs. And things like that. I guess also sort of, a lot of immigrants are very high skilled and they come sort of quite senior roles in companies. And that obviously has good benefits for diversity as well. And the impact of having more diversity is sort of more productivity as well. So it sort of taps into that as well. If people are thinking in sort of lots of different ways, you can come up with sort of better ideas and things like that. So there are definitely positive impacts that do come from this. It certainly seems that more than any sort of negative impacts when you sort of weigh up the literature, I would say.
When you talk about it now and you look at it from a practical point of view, it kind of sort of fits in with the whole model of a successful business and economy is if you can fill the vacancies in all areas, if you invest in the vacancies, it helps your organisation to grow. So it almost seems like the idea of immigration contributing to the labour force fits in with our capitalist ideas as a nation. So it then begs the question, curiously, why are those misperceptions and why is there this misinformation to why immigration is negative? Because it seems to sort of contradict the whole vision of a successful capitalist country. So have you found a way to explain why perceptions are so projected?
I guess it comes down to sort of the idea that it's sort of in sort of thinking about in the world of common sense, it kind of makes sense why wages or employment would be impacted. It sort of comes back to that sort of supply and demand. You have a certain number of workers going for a certain number of jobs. If you then have more workers going for these jobs, thinking about it, it sort of makes sense that you would have, there's more people going for a job, so wages will be less, or not everybody will get the job. And so I think that's maybe sort of where it comes from, about how that sort of logically, it just makes sense. And obviously, as I sort of went through my PhD a minute ago, it's actually a lot more complex than that. But it's quite an easy narrative to communicate where we're sort of talking about occupational mobility or things like that. It's sort of a bit more technical and maybe not as easy to sort of digest for the public. And then I think maybe it sort of comes into sort of cultural attitudes as well. Now, this isn't my topic, but it's certainly related to sort of the economic impact. And I sort of wonder whether these sort of economic reasons are almost used as sort of a rational justification rather than sort of the cultural elements, using that as sort of a reason to oppose immigration. And it's completely people's right to oppose immigration, but I think we need to at least be doing it for sort of factual reasons, if you like, or certainly not doing it based on things which research hasn't found to be the case. But yeah, you do raise a very good point that sort of if you think about sort of capitalist society, that yeah, sort of immigration does sort of play into that model and sort of benefit that model. So it's interesting to have that.
I guess what we're getting to here, and that's where the beauty of the competition is actually looking at what the evidence says and reporting on the evidence rather than, I guess, the sometimes things are portrayed from a pre-existed idea of how something should be portrayed. So what you're trying to do is use the evidence to portray the truth. And I guess this comes back to why people love data. Are you promoting the best practice of using data to help support the truth with evidence? Is that one of your goals with this project?
I think it's exactly that, yeah. Regardless of what the sort of conclusions of any sort of debate or discussion in the public domain, in this case, immigration, I think it should be based on sort of actual truthful information. If we're going to have a discussion and decide to relax or tighten immigration restrictions, it should, at least when we think about sort of the impact on the economy, be based on what has been found to be the actual impact and not on a false perception of that. So yeah, that's exactly what the competition sort of tries to tap into. It sort of trying to get students to sort of look at where the difference is between the research and the media perception, and then yeah, think about the way that we can get that sort of truth out there, if you like.
And if we focus on the truth, which I think since Brexit, since the last few years, it seems to be truth and integrity and honesty seems to be becoming popular subjects of conversation again, which is great, which is what we base our democracy on. But if we can get the truth out there, what difference do you think it can make to the lives of British people and also immigrants coming to the country to help us work together ultimately more in harmony, I guess, is what we all want. So.
I guess this maybe plays into sort of a more sort of hostile atmosphere for immigration. I think if you look at a lot of sort of the media coverage, I think Oxford University, their migration observatory, has done a lot of stuff about sort of how immigration is portrayed in the media and sort of the language and things like that, or the slant that's sort of put on research, often sort of quite negative. And so I think by actually having sort of this research out there and sort of being more balanced, it will sort of mean that there's also sort of a more rational conversation around immigration. I even think about some sort of the studies which I've looked at, which have basically found that there is very little impact on wages from immigration. Some of the way that that's been portrayed by certain media organisations, they've almost made it look as though actually there is an impact, when it's sort of, I don't want to say twisting the paper's conclusions, but maybe putting more emphasis on certain parts which give a sort of more negative view to readers. And so I think by having a more sort of rational conversation that's more sort of fact-based, then in the way that sort of we have a sort of the discussion about immigration and immigrants would sort of be a bit sort of less hostile, essentially. And so I think that's positive for everybody. And I guess maybe as well, if you're somebody that thinks immigration does have this negative impact on my wages and my employment, and then I see actually the research says that it doesn't, then rather than thinking about immigration as the problem, I can then sort of think, well, what is the problem instead? And then maybe we can work towards those sort of solutions that will help benefit people.
And do you hope this competition could be a catalyst for this debate becoming more prominent in our society, even if it's just a debate that is inspired by the truth, no matter where it leads? At least having that debate is a success.
I think that would be absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, we're certainly trying to harness the enthusiasm of younger people here to try and put some enthusiasm into that conversation. And I think it is about making it less hostile and less negative. And I think to have that more balanced conversation would be really good. Yeah.
And do you think, is there a way in which British citizens and immigrants could feel more united in the labour market instead of divided? Do you think that is a possibility in the future, even considering Brexit and the way the world has polarized in recent years in terms of nationalism? Have we gone beyond that point, or is it still a possibility?
I think we certainly can, yeah, have a sort of a more harmonious labour market, a more harmonious UK. I think often a lot of this rhetoric is driven by sort of politicians and government and sort of those at the top. And so I think that over time, you naturally have changes in who's sort of running the country and sort of pushing out certain narratives and rhetoric and things like that. So I think it sort of, yeah, makes complete sense that you would have that. I think when you look back, you do sort of see cycles as well, where there are times where sort of the immigration debate has been more hostile, and then it sort of dies off and sort of comes back. So there's absolutely no reason why it can't be, yeah, a bit more harmonious, certainly.
Excellent. And going back to competition now, we know that the idea is to look at the evidence and challenge those misperceptions with the truth. So you're just looking, no matter what they find, as long as they find the truth and evidence it, because for what your results, there are misperceptions out there. And what you ask the students to do is just to focus more on the truth. So can you describe how it would work? How do people enter and what they would need to do, just to give a picture for the students who enter the competition of the kind of work that's involved?
Sure, yeah. Well, all this information is on the UK Data Service website. If you search UK Data Service competition, it should come up. But it's called the Changing Perceptions Challenge. And basically, it's sort of split into two sections. So the first bit, we basically want students to think about this sort of divide between the research and sort of media and public perceptions. And so we ask students to think about how the media has portrayed the economic impact of immigration, and then sort of look at how this has impacted on opinion polling, and sort of having a little bit of a look at what the public thinks about immigration's impact on workers. And then also to have a sort of a quick look at the academic research and sort of ask, do these two things sort of align with each other? And that's sort of, I think that's about 500 to 750 words. It's sort of a short section just to think about that divide and sort of make sure it's sort of clear in their minds. And then from there, we're asking students to develop a campaign basically to bridge that gap and sort of communicate the research to an audience of their choice. So students don't have to actually create this campaign, but we just want them to sort of think about its aims and about the audience and its objectives. So there were sort of three sort of pillars we had for that section. So we wanted to sort of ask students to think about the campaign format. So what is it that they're going to do? Sort of what medium? So it could be sort of a TV advert or a poster, or could even be a dance show. It could be absolutely anything. But how are they going to try and communicate their key messages? And as I said, that could be to any audience that they choose. So it could be to younger people or their friends and family or their local MP, but absolutely anybody. And then sort of finally want to think about what would success look like. So what are the goals of the campaign? And that can be sort of grand or sort of a lot smaller. It's completely up to students. I'm hoping to see from some of the entries that we get sort of a bit of variety, with some people wanting to sort of almost change the world, and then other people sort of being just to change some minds on my street. It would be good to sort of get some variety there in who's sort of being targeted by this and what success looks like.
Excellent. And in terms of that's a campaign, so they can, that this is up to them, is that right? In terms of they can just create a poster and maybe put it up in their village, maybe invite people for a talk to talk about it. Is it kind of that open, or is it more specific, you think, in terms of campaigns and stuff?
No, I think absolutely that. We wanted to sort of leave it open so students could sort of do whatever they want to, you know, in terms of who they try and target, in terms of how they would try and do that. We thought by sort of putting restrictions on it, you then, yeah, restrict the possibilities. So as long as they think, yeah, students are thinking about what's the medium of it, who are they targeting, and what's the success of that, then it can sort of be, yeah, incredibly free in what they choose to do. As I say, if somebody comes up with a dance show as their campaign, or sort of a, I don't know, some sort of hot air balloon display, then that would be I'd love to see something like that. I don't know quite how it would work, but it would be great to find out, certainly.
Excellent. So definitely captures people's attention, I think. So it's got my mind boggling now as well. I wish I could enter. I guess also they could create a 5-minute report or something, or film about it, or something like that, and then put that on their social media and share it with their community, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. It doesn't need to be something quite as wacky as a hot air balloon display. It can, just be, as I say, a TV advert or a poster or something like that. As long as, it's clearly been thinking about how it would target the audience and what that success would look like, sort of completely up to students. So,
brilliant. My next question was going to be, why do you think it's enjoyable and interesting for the students to enter competition? But I think you've already answered that question. It sounds very enjoyable and interesting. I just wondered if you could enhance that further about how this is an opportunity, probably more for the whole college, I guess, to get behind because of the open potential of it, including creativity and making a bit of a difference in society.
I think regardless of what students are looking to do after they've finished at sixth form or college, whether that's going to university or entering the world of work, that there are skills here which are certainly very valuable. So, I guess it sort of links, quite closely to entering university and thinking about sort of research. There's a sort of very clear links there to sort of, being able to sort of read research articles and things like that. But then also, just being able to think about sort of an audience and the best way to communicate to that audience is incredibly valuable no matter what students go on to do next. So I think it's certainly an opportunity to develop skills that they would possibly have the opportunity to do otherwise.
So I could complement their work at the moment and their further careers, because it's something that would be good on their, I guess, their CV and their applications to universities as well.
I think absolutely. I remember back to when I was at sixth form, I worked on something called the EPQ. I don't know if it's still about. It may well still be about. And I basically wrote a 5,000-word essay, so not nearly as creative as this necessarily, but it was sort of a really good opportunity to sort of have that independence and sort of to look at research and things like that. And I think they were very valuable skills. And so I guess in a way this is quite similar to that. A lot more free rein, but quite similar, and sort of students can be sort of independent, sort of quite a lot of flexibility over what they're going to do, which I think regardless of whether you go to university or into the world of work, both, it's incredibly valuable in both of those directions.
And of course the ultimate guess, and this is completely possible from what you're saying, is that whatever work they do, it could help progress the national conversation around immigration and working in harmony with the British labour market.
Absolutely, I think so. Yeah, I think in terms of sort of the impact that we're hoping to generate from the competition, the first one is about thinking about how we can communicate this research to the public and change that debate. But also as well, I guess it's also very beneficial that the students who work in this competition are going to learn about the topic, and that's sort of having an impact in itself. I think, getting that, this is a way of sort of getting that message out, regardless of what students come up with. And so that sort of will help going forward, that more people are sort of a bit clearer on the impact. So,
and just, could you just outline how the entries will be judged and the prizes available? I believe it's £200 prize for the winner. And I wonder if you just, once they've done their competition, how it gets assessed and the rewards available to them.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got quite a good judging panel. I'm on the judging panel, which looking forward to. And alongside is Victoria Moody from the UK Data Service, Helen Dempster, who is an economist at the Centre for Global Development, and then Professor Jonathan Portes from King's College London, who I'm used to hearing on the radio or reading in the newspaper. So it'll be very interesting to have him and everybody else on the panel as well. So a lot of expertise there. So it's a real expert judging panel that we've got. And then, as you say, there are prizes. So the winner will receive sort of a £200 book voucher, and that's split between them and their sixth form or college. And then I believe there are three runners-up prizes as well, which is a £100 book voucher, again, to be split between the student and their sixth form or college. So, yeah, it's quite exciting, both in terms of how it's judged and in terms of prizes as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. The prizes are a great bonus. I think just doing the work itself should be reward enough, I think. But it's a pleasure to talk to you, Ben. It's a really exciting competition. I'm glad we were able to elaborate on it further, and I look forward to people enjoying what's involved and getting involved. And maybe we can chat again after they've done the campaigns and discuss how you think they went.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time and good luck with it all. Take care.
Thank you.
Full entry details, terms and conditions, and supporting resources can be found on the UK Data Service website by going to ukdataservice.ac.uk. Students have until midnight on Sunday, 3rd of April 2022, to submit their entries.